Father, stretch your hand. Stretch your hand, Father, to those who have been taken captive. Stretch your hand, Lord, to those who have been deceived. Stretch your hand, Lord. Stretch your hand to those who have backslidden and stepped away from you. Lord, stretch your hand and rescue your people today. Rescue them, Lord. They are suffocating. Rescue them and bring them into your kingdom. Bring them. Bring revival, Father. Bring revival to this house, to the body of Christ, to this country. Bring revival, Father, in a mighty way. Bring revival to our campus, Lord. Bring revival to the hearts of your people called true in the mighty name of Jesus. As we speak peace, blessing, and salvation and stewardship to Jerusalem and Israel. Bring in revival to Jerusalem and Israel, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. As we take dominion and bind every principality, power of darkness, wickedness in heavenly places. Every spirit under the authority of Satan, every territorial spirits of the water, land, air, and sea of darkness. Every spirit of antichrist, witchcraft, and sorcery. Every spirit of mind-binding bondage and addictive, perverse spirits. In the name of Jesus, we bind them that will try and come against our people here in this house. In the mighty name of Jesus, will come against those we're praying for, our seeds, our harvests, and our inheritance, and our territories. They will come against our jobs and our job places in the mighty name of Jesus. They will come against the move of the Spirit of the living God, the angels working on our behalf and our relationship with the King of Glory. They will come against any area of this in the mighty name of Jesus. They will come against our health and our finances in the mighty name of Jesus. And we cast those spirits down to the pit, not to return, in Jesus' mighty name. Now, Father, we look to you as our hope and our strength and our life. Our deliverer and our healer. We call on the name above all names, Jesus, who will answer us and show us great and mighty things. Oh, Master, in your presence is fullness of joy. Now let the anointing and the power of your glory and the presence of your love melt each and every one. Break the yokes of bondage. Fill us. Fill us that we're one with you, Lord. Surrender all. Don't have to try and figure it out. Just fall in the hands of the living God. Trust. Trust and see. Taste his goodness today. Eat of his faithfulness. For he is faithful to complete what he started. Faithful. 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 Again, continue to hide us in this secret place. Cover us with your wings. Feed us from your throne room. Teach us your ways. Guide us. Snare our enemies in our own nets. And establish us for your glory as we celebrate your victory today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a mighty hand. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. And all that's within us, bless his holy name. Let's go there for a second. Psalm 103. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, glory. How many of y'all know we got to be led by the Spirit? Psalm 103. Everybody there? Read Psalm 103 with me. Bless the Lord, all my soul. You know what your soul is? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. Glory to God. Your mind, your will, and your emotions is your soul. Remember Friday night we talked about you got to be sold out. First of all, the soul of the carnality must be sold out so that the soul of Christ can take his place. Does everybody get it? Sold out soul. Bless the Lord, all my soul, with all my might, all my mind, with my emotions. Bless him. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and what? Forget not all his benefits. Let me tell you what, God's got great benefits. There isn't any benefits that can compare to your job. You know, people are out there looking for benefits, health benefits, retirement benefits, all kinds of benefits. And some people won't take a job unless there's good benefits. Unfortunately, I'm not going to go there. But here the Lord says, forget not his benefits. Let me tell you, he's got a great retirement plan. It's called eternal life. Amen. look at this. Well, look at it. It says, and what are his benefits? He forgives all your iniquities or your sins. Praise God, he forgives us. Amen. He what? Heals all your diseases. What kind of medical coverage do you need, man? Blue Cross and Blue Shield will not compare to the healing of Jesus Christ. In fact, the only thing we need is the shield of faith. That's what heals. By His stripes we're healed. Who forgives our iniquities, who heals all of our diseases, who redeems your life from destruction. Oh, how many of y'all know we were on the wrong path? Then we got on the right path. Because what? He said, listen, man, if you'll bless me with your mind, your will, your soul, your emotions, here's the benefits. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things. Are you speaking good things or bad things? So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Praise God. You know, eagles eat snakes. It's their delicacy. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and eat snake. But I am telling you to go out to cut their heads off, man. No snake show glory. Bless the Lord, all my soul and everything that's within me. Bless Him. Don't take no for an answer when it comes to blessing the Lord. It moves you into another place. It moves you into another realm. In fact, the purpose then when we worship God is to help us get rid of self. Amen? So we can become united with Him in every area. You know, the Bible says when the spirit of heaviness comes upon you, lift up the spirit of praise. You know, praise Him. Because what the enemy always does is always try to bring you to you. Amen? Let me share something with you. And we talked about this Friday night. The devil will always oppose what God is trying to do in your life. Amen? If you think that you're just going to tiptoe through the tulips and do the will of God, forget it. It's not going to happen. You're going to have to fight, you're going to have to learn, and you're going to have to stay in position. Remember, we talked about coming through these 40 days. Hallelujah. Leviathan will be the number one that will try to prevent you. Why? Because he is the king of pride. Amen? And he's always going to bring you to you. The first thing that happens, you know, we talked about this before, and I'm just going to repeat it for a second. Remember, anger protects fear. Right? Fear protects pride. And pride protects self. Now, this self that we're talking about is the offspring of darkness. It's not the new child of God. It's the offspring of darkness. So the enemy is going to try and get you in every way he can to prevent you from fulfilling the will of God. He'll try to sway you with money. He'll try to sway you. See, that's why the Bible says, as your soul prospers, so will you. Now, your soul prospering, meaning that it's being turned over to the ways of Christ. So that you're not misled by the things of the devil and deceived, but you are led by the Spirit of the living God. What's the purpose of all this? So we can carry the message of truth to the world. Think about what you've gone through and the testimony you have now. Think of the testimony you have now. And what God, and for some of us, God is still building more and more testimonies. Why? So we can carry these to the world. So we can tell people about Jesus. Turn to Matthew 24 in verse 3. Now, you know, the Lord's going to return to Mount Olives. What's olives do? Squeezes and puts out what? Oil. Olive oil? You know, hello? They use that for anointing oil. Praise God. And starting in verse 3, read it with me. And as he, Jesus, sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when will these things be, and when will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age. Now, we are in the age right now of what we call age of grace or age dispensation age. The age of grace. Grace meaning God's plan and action. Amen. When you cried out for mercy, he said, I'm considering you. When he considered you, he gave you grace. And what's God's grace? The plan of escape. Has everybody got it? So right now we are in the age of grace. Why? Because it's the plan of escape from his wrath. It's a plan of escape from hell. We are in this age. And they wanted to know, when was the age the disciples were with Jesus? They said, listen, tell us when the end of this age is going to stop, man. You know, when are you coming again? When's this going to end? And Jesus said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Hello? Who's the deceiver? Amen. The Bible tells us in the latter days, many will fall from the faith by what? Deceiving spirits. Independent spirits. Prideful spirits. Does everybody get it? For many will come in my name, saying that I am anointed. I am the Christ. I'm a believer. And will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Are we having wars and rumors of wars? See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And that represents nation, here represents ethnic. And there will be famines. Are there famines? Are there pestilence? And earthquakes in various places, the largest ever and more frequent right now than ever. And all of these things are called the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, or attempt to kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Look at what's going on right now. The world hates Israel and United States. They hate us. Why? Because we represent the Christ. God chose, that's why the eagle, hello, is our symbol. Why do you think the Statue of Liberty is? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. God chose United States to be brother and sister with Israel. Israel represents the law. United States represents the Spirit. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Freedom. Do y'all get this now? Man, we are in awesome times. Glory. Now, in verse 11. Number 10. Look at number 10. No, you got read this with me. And then many will be what? Offended. Offended. The spirit of offense is rampant. Why? Because he's underneath the authority of Leviathan. I haven't gotten in all that yet, but we will one day. And then many will be offended and will what? Betray one another. And will hate one another. He's talking about brethren. For many false prophets will rise up and what? Deceive many. We call those granolas, nutty and fruity people. See, the enemy always tries to tell individuals they are so spiritual that they know it all. But they're blinded, aren't they? And remember, God resists the what? Pride, but gives grace to the humble. Oh, hallelujah. And many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abide, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be what? Saved. And verse 14, read it. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. So who's trying to stop the gospel from going forth? Satan. Why? Because he knows it's the end. Do you understand this? See, you carry the will of God in you. The gospel is a representation of the message of the truth. Man, let me tell you, when you know the truth, the enemy's there. He'll sway you. The Bible says he'll attack you with the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Why? Because you know the truth. You know how many people have started off with the truth and swayed? They've drifted away? One way or another, through lust or through pride. Are you with me? And what I want to share today is about the everlasting gospel. It's everlasting. It never stops. The message of truth will never, never stop. But he says, he who endures will be saved. So listen, the enemy is going to do everything he can from preventing you from fulfilling the will of God. Now, there are three types of wills. There's good, acceptable, and perfect. One returns 30-fold, 160, and 100. And one of the things we want is a 100-fold return. Amen? So we've got to do the perfect will. And let me tell you, if you're crying out for the perfect will of God and you're in God's acceptable or good will, you're going to have troubles. You're going to have troubles. Lord, I want your perfect will. Yeah, what a good, get in here. You'll be dragged in there. You're going to find it, that, you know. Listen, the Bible says make no place for the devil, right? Make no place for the devil. If everybody would expose the devils in their own life, man, what victory we would have. Instead of trying to expose the devil in somebody else's life, start exposing the devil in your own life, you'll have victory. There'll be such a unity. There'll be submission. There'll be humbleness. There'll be surrender, and there'll be power and anointing. And there'll be more souls getting saved. You know, and I shared this before. When I first got saved, I couldn't understand how much ministry, why people were still ministering to the body of Christ. Because I wanted to go out there and rescue souls. I couldn't understand it. Come on, let's go out and get them. Come on, there's so many lost people. And they're going, no, man. And it's because so many breaches are in the body of Christ. We spend more time trying to heal the breaches in the body instead of going out and rescuing souls. And there's going to be a time when the Lord's just going to say, let it go and go. Let it go and go. Oh, hallelujah. So the gospel of truth, it's the gospel, the everlasting truth, we're to declare to all. Let me tell you something. The quicker we get the word out everywhere, the quicker we can go home. Man, I'm tired of living in this place. Remember I said before, there's too many humans. We need to turn these humans into children of the Most High God. Remember, humans die. Children of God don't. They are eternal. Hallelujah. Go to Revelation 14 in verse 6. It says, then I saw an angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the what? Everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him. For the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of the water. And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image, and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Now listen, this is the beast of the world. This is the one who is the ruler of the world. This is why the Bible says, come out from among them and touch nothing unclean. And he who loves the world is an enemy of God. Does everybody get it? Good. Hallelujah. In verse 12. Everybody see it? Let's read it. Here is the patience of the saints. How many saints we have here? Amen. You didn't have to get voted. You're automatic. Your name was written already. Hallelujah. And here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who what? Keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. Praise God. And their works follow them. In other words, the things that you're doing will follow you. In other words, you'll leave a legacy behind. Does everybody get it?
It's called the everlasting gospel. It is truth. The message of truth. Would you go to Acts 10 and verse 36? Acts 10:36.
The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. That was the everlasting gospel, wasn't it? That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now I want you to understand, he is preaching the gospel. Watch, keep going. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to what? Preach to the people and to testify that he who was ordained by God is to be judge of the living and the dead. And to him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sin. So they're all preaching the message of truth. The first thing he talks about is the anointing and how Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit. That's the first thing he starts talking about. Why? Because that's the message of truth, is the anointing, isn't it? Remember, God, the Messiah, the Christ, came into the world to bring me and you power to take dominion over darkness and to be led by the Spirit with truth. So we see here the message is associated with the anointing, healing, exposing the devil, Jesus' resurrection, Jesus' coming as judge, Jesus commanding us to preach the message and giving us a testimony. Amen? Does everybody get it? Do I need to repeat it? Praise God. The message is associated with anointing, healing, exposing the devil, Jesus' death and resurrection, Jesus coming as judge, and commanding us to preach the message of truth, giving us a testimony. The message of the truth is the everlasting gospel. This is it right here. He's talking about it. He's expressing the kingdom of God, isn't he? 2 Corinthians 4, in verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, the message of truth is veiled, it is veiled to those who are what? They are perishing. They are decaying. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Who's the God of this age? Satan. Who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus the Christ. Oh, so the gospel is veiled, isn't it? It is veiled to those who are perishing. And that's why we must bring the truth out. Go to chapter 3 while we're here. In verse 14. Would you read it? But their minds are blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament. Because the veil is taken away in Christ, meaning anointed one and his anointing. That's why when Saul, who became Paul, was baptized in the Holy Ghost, the scales came off. Hello?
Remember, he accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, didn't he? When he said, "Who are you?" And Jesus said, "It is I." Whoa. What happened then? Well, he became blind. Why? Because God set him aside. He pulled him out for 3 days, blinded him, so he had no interference of the world. That's all he can do. He could no longer rely on sight. He accepted the Lord, and then the Lord sent his servant, laid his hands on him. Paul received the Holy Spirit, got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the scales came off. Does everybody get it? And it says that the scales are taken away, the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the what? Whoa. The Lord is the Spirit, man. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. Praise God. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we're being changed, aren't we? So the more you're in God's presence, the more you change. The more you're in God's presence, the more you change. So who doesn't want you to get in God's presence? Do you get it? See, the more you're in God's presence, it's like plugging something in. Did you ever see those batteries that recharge themselves? See, your battery gets, you know, you're not clapping anymore. You're not clapping the drum no more. You know that rabbit on the commercial that claps a drum? You're not clapping a drum anymore. You're like, poof, poof, poof. And you know, and you're carrying your Bible, but you're still, poof, poof. You know, and the word's not manifesting, and you're quoting all kinds of stuff, but it's in the flesh. See, it's still logos, which means written. But when you are in God's presence and the anointing comes, it becomes rhema. It becomes rhema, becomes life. So see, that's why the enemy loves to take people out of fellowship. And then he puffs them up with the letter. Man, you know the word. Come on, man, just quote it. And the devil's standing there and he knows the anointing ain't there and you're quoting all of this word, ain't nothing happening. Yeah, keep going. I see all the unclean things you touch and the things you agree with. Man, I've been hearing you grumble, 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 grumble. It's brought covenant with the devil. Now he's got you sown in the flesh. Now you will reap corruption. Do you get it? Every area he can cause you to sow in the flesh, you will reap one of three things. The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. We talked a little bit about this. It's like if you drop a glass and it breaks, if you don't pick it up right away, right, you're going to step on it. And others are going to step on it. Because when you and I sow into the flesh and reap corruption, it affects others besides ourselves. So the quicker you pick it up, and now the devil will always try to get you to justify and blame it on somebody else. Man, that broken glass must be a devil in the house. Well, you know, if you wouldn't have left it there, it wouldn't have broke. Oh, the justification and the excuses why the glass broke. The justification and excuses why we sin. The justification. See, if the enemy can cause you to justify, it takes you longer to pick it up or longer to repent. That means you will reap more. And you will reap one of three things. Because the devil came to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. And what's he trying to do? Keep you from declaring the truth. See, because if you go out and preach the gospel without walking and abiding in it, you're a hypocrite. And the judgment will be worse. Hello?
I knew a lot of people that go out and they still fornicate. They do dope during the weekends, and then Monday, they preach the gospel to everybody. They are on their way to hell. And they have no accountability or credibility. They've lost it all. See, preaching the gospel is not going to get you in heaven. Your relationship does. Does everybody get it? Declaring the truth, first of all, you can't give what you don't have. If you're not walking in truth, you got no right giving it. In fact, the Lord warns us in the Psalms. He said, told him, he said, how dare you talk about me when you can't even abide in it? When you can't even submit? How dare you talk about me? Don't tell nobody about me until you get right. Amen? So we know that the devil is there to resist you. He does not want you to carry the will of God. He does not want you to declare the truth. He wants to disqualify you from carrying the everlasting gospel. Has everybody got it? Good. Let's go a little bit further back. Let's go to same chapter, verse 1. Let's read it. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some other epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Now, an epistle is a representation of a letter, isn't it? You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by who? All men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. Remember, I shared with you before that the Word became flesh, and now your flesh becomes the Word, depending on where you're at. Let's go a little further. Glory. Verse 4. And we have such trust through Christ toward God. Come on, read it with me. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So guess what? The devil loves you to get you in the flesh and preach the letter. Do y'all get this? Because it's not Rhema. That's why when you pray over things, when you send things out and whatever, you pray over them. Yes, the anointing to be with it. Right? Yes, the anointing. Look at what, listen, they went out preaching, remember? Of course, the anointing was on Paul and the apostles and so forth. And when they went out preaching, things were happening, weren't they? People were getting saved. Not everyone accepted it, did they? Many walked away too. And they got beat up and all kinds of stuff. And then Paul put handkerchiefs and aprons, and he would carry the anointing with him. And he would hand out those hankies and handkerchiefs and so forth. And people would get delivered and healed because of the anointing. Hallelujah. We are the written epistle. Let me share how you live, how you act, how you respond, how you submit. The Bible says, submit to God and resist the devil. If you can't submit to God, you're not going to resist the devil. And if you can't submit to earthly things, there's no way you're going to submit to heavenly things. No way. You just won't. And you will never earn the trust of God until you do. No matter how much, no matter, I don't care how many cemetery schools you went to. I don't care how many degrees and diplomas you have. I don't care how many doctrines of divinity you have. It don't mean poop. You can hang them all up and brush them off and so forth. Doesn't mean anything. It's where you are with Him. Oh, praise God. Hebrews 8, verse 7. Glory to God. For if the first covenant has been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, He says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, which means world. Because they did not continue in my covenant. They did not continue in my covenant. And I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my what? Laws or my words in their minds or in their spirits, and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor and none of his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds, and I will remember no more. And in that day, he says, a new covenant. He has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. So we know that he says he's going to put his word in us, isn't he? Well, who's the author of the word? The Holy Spirit. He's the one that wrote the word. I'm talking about the Bible. We know that Jesus is the word that became flesh. Amen? But the author who wrote this Bible was the Holy Spirit. Well, no men wrote it. No, the Holy Spirit wrote it. He just had to use a man's hand. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36 and verse 21. Are we all in a new covenant now? Amen. That which is old has passed away. Jesus came to fulfill it. Now you and I are in a new covenant. Praise God. The Spirit has access to us, filled with the Spirit of God. The Word is dwelling within us. The truth. We carry the gospel, the everlasting gospel of truth. But who's going to believe you if you're not living out of it? If you're not walking it? There's a lot of talking, but there's got to be more walking. Because your walking will do the talking. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Ezekiel 36 and verse 21. Read it with me. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel has profaned among the nations wherever they went. Now you got to think about how many times have people profaned the name of the Lord? How about when you sow in the flesh? How about when you're disobedient? You know, there's so many times people take the name of the Lord in vain. You know, in the Old Testament, when they used to take the name of the Lord in vain, they were killed. They were stoned. Even disobedient children. Parents didn't bring disobedient children to the church unless it was real bad, because they knew that kid would have been killed. Yow. Thank God for his mercy. In verse 22, therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. Think about people claiming to be believers, but they're still doing the wrong things. Are they profaning the name of the Lord? That's where he said, many will come in my name. I'm a Christian. Yes, I still fornicate, I still lie, I still cheat, I still disobedient. And they're profaning the name, aren't they? Therefore, say to the house of Israel, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. In verse 23, and I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst, and the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. Wow. That means that you have reverence to him. You have fear. And I'm not talking about terror. I'm talking about the fear of the Lord, the reverence to God. That's hallowing his name. People might not understand that they'll call you self-righteous, because they don't know what righteousness is. They only know what good and evil is from the tree of good and evil. Amen. In verse 24, for I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Oh, hallelujah. Now, we know that that's already happening. All the Jews from all over the world are going home. They're being called home. Right? Now, all of us who are in Christ are being called home. He's taken us from all parts of ethnic places. Everybody in here has come from another country.
Amen. Your ancestors have come from another country and brought us to where? This land. He says, and for I will take, in verse 24, for I'll take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a what? New heart, and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you. And cause you, and say, cause you. And I will what? Cause you. Because when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, you are caused. You want to be led. Why? Because you have such a reverence for God, you want to do whatever it takes to please Him. Unless you let that anointing diminish. That's why we're to stay filled. The more you're filled, the more you're like Him. But the enemy will love to drain you. See, he drains you with false burdens. He drains you with fear. He drains you. The attacks will try to drain you. That's why you must stay filled. Oh, glory. In verse 27, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and will keep, and you will keep my judgments to what? And do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will deliver you from all the uncleanliness. And I will call for the grain and multiply it and bring no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees and increase of your fields so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. Now that is powerful, isn't it? Let's go a little further. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good. And you shall loaf yourselves into your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations. Not for your sake do I do this, says the Lord. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all of your iniquities, I will also enable you to dwell in the cities, and the ruins shall be rebuilt. Now this is what I'm talking about. This is now. In other words, what's he going to do? He's going to enable you. He's going to cause you. He's going to begin to send you out to places to build ruins that were desolate. By what? Bringing the everlasting gospel. Oh, glory. Are you ready? In verse 34, the desolate land shall be tilled instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass by. So they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden and wasted, desolate and ruined. Cities are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations which are left all around you shall know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. And who is he going to do it through? You. Oh, glory. Acts 2. It's a new season. Glory to God. And he's going to do it through you. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So they didn't get the gift of the Holy Spirit when they accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, did they? For the promises to you and to your children, to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And those who gladly received, his word were baptized. And in that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and the fellowship and in breaking bread and in what? Prayers. Now listen. So what happened is they accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They got baptized in water, got baptized in the Spirit, and what did they do? They fellowshipped. They broke bread daily. They stayed united. They stayed in fellowship. Why? Because they knew that the enemy was going to try to divide them. He knew it. They repented. They ate. They were in fellowship. That's why it's so important about staying in fellowship. Let me tell you, the devil come quickly. He's not an idiot. The Bible says he's the most cunning beast God created. Why? Because he's going to try to prevent you from going forward and declaring the truth and being a pure witness. Go to Psalm 133. See, so in fellowship, when you and I are fellowshipping, we're praising the Lord together, there's a special anointing that comes, doesn't it? Psalm 133. It says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard." Doesn't mean you go out and grow a beard, no. That means running down your face, you know. "The beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord commanded the what? The blessing, life forevermore." Wow, so the blessing is in the presence of God. Amen? So that's why it's good to stay in fellowship. So that when we declare the truth, it's done in the anointing and not in the flesh. Go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. And verse 1. Are y'all getting this? Praise God. I'm getting it too. Would you read it with me? "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life," or the message of truth, which is the gospel, right? "The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declared to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full." Glory. See, when there is true fellowship, there is joy. If fellowship is broke, there is torment and misery. Now, some people try to buy joy, but she can only hang out so long. You have to know Phyllis and overflow. So you got to know Phyllis and overflow. And when Phyllis and overflow show up, joy comes right along, man. And then you kick butt. Glory. Verse 5. "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare it to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we have made him a liar, and his word is not in us." Oh, hallelujah. So we see here that fellowship is essential, isn't it? Now listen, we are entering a new season. In 2008. And Friday, the Lord gave me a word about 2008, and I'm going to share with you again so we have it on tape. You know, one of the things in this time of wilderness, we talked about you must face the devil face to face. Everybody faces the enemy face to face. And you must have the victory before you can go on. Hello? You must have the victory before you can go on. If you do not have the victory, you must go back till you get the victory. You are constantly going the cycle until you have that victory. You know, people are doing things, whatever, but eventually, You know, yes, we know that there's trials, there's tribulation, but then there's the time when you face the devil face to face. And you must have victory. That's how you come out with the power. If you do not have victory, you come out wounded. You must have the victory. And God will bring you back in until you have the victory. He will not allow you to be promoted or go. He will not send you. In fact, there are times when He'll even call you back. He'll begin to drop things. He'll begin things that you were involved with, you'll find that He'll begin to drop. Because He wants you to go back until you have that victory. Why? Because He's looking for responsibility, credibility. He's looking for faithfulness. Those who will not be swayed. I'm telling you, we're entering a season where you cannot be swayed. You must be immovable. No matter what. And this is what He said. He said, 2008. He said, you will face your greatest battles. Your greatest battles will be faced in 2008. And you thought you had battles now. Your greatest battles will be faced. But the thing is, you got to understand, you're coming out of the wilderness with power. You will face your greatest battles, but your largest victories. So in other words, you're going to have big harvests. Your greatest battles will come, but your biggest harvest that you've ever had before will come. Everything must be motivated by love of the spirit, not love of the soul. The fight of intensity will draw many people together and assist others in the battle. The weak will be guided by the strong, and the rebellious will be taken captive. But no one must not be left behind. There will be great sacrifice in obeying. This season, victory will not come by waiting, but will come by responding. The greater the battle, the greater the victory. All will reap by the victory. But I will personally reward the victor. I have opened the highways, the airways, the hallways, that my gospel will go out. Amen? That's what He gave me for 2008. We're beginning to see many things begin to open up. That's why we'll be going to the parks on Sunday. And it's not just to preach the gospel, it's to be the living epistle. Where people who have been hurt or whatever by the church or whatever, afraid and demonized, one thing they like to do is eat and play. It will no longer be Sunday, it'll be fun day. Oh, hallelujah. And I want to close in the scripture. Romans 16. Romans 16. There is a price to play. Is everybody there in verse 25? Would you read it with me? Now to Him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scripture made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith. To God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Get ready. Get ready. Father, we thank You for Your word today. We know You spoke to each and every one of us. You know, I want to share one other thing. When we began to intercede, When after we got done praising and worshiping and we began to do warfare, I saw people. You know what saran wrap is? Everybody knows what saran wrap is. I saw people walking into saran wrap because they were deceived. And they began to suffocate. That's why we began to intercede. They had fallen into the trap of the devil. They couldn't see. They couldn't see what the devil was doing because they were so caught up in self. And they walked right into the trap of the devil. And I began to see that when they stepped into the trap, the saran wrap began to wrap them around and they were suffocating. And that's why we interceded. That's why we were praying in the spirit. We were praying in the spirit to get them out of there because they were dying. I don't know where. I don't know how. It's not up to me to know that. That's what I was shown, and that's why we interceded. I saw believers walking into the saran wrap where the traps were. It was like just large sheets, and people were just walking in. And then when they walked in, they got wrapped around, and they began to suffocate. I could see their faces and trying to breathe because they couldn't get the breath of life. We are in a great transition right now. Great. Great. It's time. It's time to grow up. It's time to mature. It's time. Fortify. It's time to let things go. It's time to quit playing with the world. It's time. Let me tell you, the world is waiting for you. The Bible even says that all earth groans, all God's creation groan. For what? The unveiling of the sons of God. It's time. That's why we're doing what we're going to do. We are the living epistle. We are a living organism, not just an organization. We must go out because time is running out.